proclaiming the gospel is a greater thing than doing all of those. Because you are announcing eternal life. You are opening up for the world the true meaning of its existence. You're opening up for a human being, whoever they may be. You're talking to on the train or on the plane or wherever. You're opening up for them, you see, eternal life. And curing the sick and raising the dead and cleansing lepers and driving out demons. That's very important. But it's less than opening up a heart to eternal life. And ushering that person in to the worship of the most blessed Trinity, even in this life. And looking forward to an eternal existence and having that reality so impressed on one's spirit that we're different. Of course we're different. If we're living this, we have such a vision of reality, and it's not like an idea, you know, like, well, the Republicans are better than the Democrats or vice versa. No, this isn't an opinion. This is reality. And we have been let in on it by a work of the Holy Spirit in our spirit, which we call faith. You see, our faith comes, thank God, our faith comes supported by many cultural helps. They're being knocked out from under us one by one. There was a time when shops weren't open on Sunday, in my memory, and I'm less than 100. There was a time, I can remember as a boy, we would go to the 9 o'clock Mass and we would drive down to this little stationary soda fountain kind of store run by a lovely man, a Jewish man. And the newspapers would be out on the sidewalk. And people would just drive up, take the newspaper, make their own change, drop it in a box and go. And he was in there making sodas or whatever he was doing. And nobody thought anything of it. That's human. So you see, so we're supposed to cure the sick and raise the dead. I remember, I think I told you, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. You know, people beset by demons suffer a lot. Whether they need deliverance or exorcism or whatever. You know, there are demons. They're real. And they cause a lot of havoc. And as faith diminishes in this world, the door is open to them. There are fewer people blessing their food or blessing their children or calling on God. And that just opens up the door. I think I told you, I gave a talk and part of the talk was on, the talk was on evangelization. And I said, you know, you need signs and wonders. To evangelize at times. The greatest sign and wonder is that you're standing there, sitting there, telling somebody about God the Father and seeing their heart change in front of your eyes as Jesus promised. You know, you will witness and He will witness the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us that, right? And St. Augustine says, yes, you witness exteriorly, and He witnesses interiorly. He gives substance to your words. You're just a poor little human being. How can you convince anybody about eternal life? You can't. But eternal life lives in you. And if you love, and if you speak because you love, that reality will be impressed on the spirit of the other person. Can you imagine? And it's not just, you know, eternal life, whatever that is. It's knowing Jesus and knowing His love. What a treasure. So I'm going on and on like this. And at the question period, a guy stood up and said, we don't need these signs and wonders. I mean, we don't. I was getting all ready to make an answer. And a woman, about 60-something, stood up. About 300 and some people there. She said, my family and I, we have been missionaries our whole life long. For 30 years, we were missionaries, I think it was in Borneo. And then we moved over to, and we're in a very poor part of Mexico. My husband, myself, my children, their children, we're a missionary family. We go as a family. A very simple person, you know, but the authenticity, you know. She said, "We've seen the dead raised. We've seen food multiplied. We've seen the sick healed, of course. The Lord wants these people to know that the kingdom is here." She said, just before we came up here from Mexico, a woman called, a poor woman, and she had a terrible, terrible toothache, and she made an appointment with the doctor, and when she got there, the appointment was canceled or something, mix-up, or I don't know what happened, you know. So I said to my grandson, who's 3 or 4, go over there and pray with that lady. So he walked across the room, he put his hand on her jaw, and he prayed. The next morning, that woman called and said, "My toothache is completely healed." What else would you expect Jesus to do when she doesn't have any money and she's in pain? If somebody has the love and the care to go pray with her, of course he'd heal her. Will she remember that? Oh. Will her life be different? Inshallah. Let's hope, pray, that she won't forget that. You see, let's not be, you know, ashamed to just pray with people. You know, you have a terrible cold. Can I pray with you that the Lord heal it? Who's going to say no? If you're sick, somebody says, "I might be able to help you," you're going to say, "Don't bother." I never met anybody that did that. Now, I'm lucky if I'm walking around with a collar. You know, you can get away with a lot. You can't walk. You know, borrow my collar if you want. And this is just the beginning. Without cost you have received. Without cost you are to give. Phew. What do you care? In a few years you'll be dead. You'll be in heaven. What are you going to need all the money for? You know, as I was thinking of those, I was thinking of friends of mine. I think you know who they are, but I won't mention their names because they're humble people. There's a sister, religious sister, and a priest, and they travel all over the world preaching. They give homily, missions, they give retreats, you know, and they have a standard policy. Buy us a coach ticket. Now, we'll probably use our airline, whatever, you know, brownie points, whatever they call them, you know, whatever you call those things. And to upgrade, because it cuts down on the fatigue. You know, you're here and you're going to India and you're going to start, you know, we'll use our travel points to cut down on the fatigue. But when we get there, there is to be no admission charged for anything. For anything. And if you want, then, of course, to take up some sort of offering, if you will. But don't worry about us. You know, cover your costs and whatever you want, give us, but that's fine. We don't want any more than that. They have lived that way for over 30 years, and they're doing fine. They hardly ever get sick because the Lord wants them in good health to preach. And they're really happy people. I mean, they're very, very close friends. I know them well and have great respect for them, great love for them. Now, you see, that's how you take these words and say, because they're not going to walk around. I mean, you know, you can't walk to India, you know, but they're going to preach that way. And if they hear that somebody's, because these are kind of famous people, and people want to go and hear them and get healed and everything, you know. If they hear that they're charging admission, they don't come. They'll cancel. They'll cancel the day before if they hear this. The sister was telling me about she had invited somebody to do something that, you know, they do, that they put on, that I usually go to. She said, "Well, I asked this fella," and he said, "Well, you'll have to pay for a first-class ticket, and I want to stay in a first-class hotel, and I need $1,000 for every talk." So she said, "I figured that was going to cost me $15,000. I said, "I'll do it for $14,500. I would never, $14,000 for, isn't that ridiculous? For the Word of God? First place, the Word of God is priceless. But I thought of that as I was reading, well, how do you do this today? We're supposed this isn't just antiquarian, you know. This isn't a history lesson. Don't try to make money from the Word of God. You got to eat. But don't try to get rich. And when you go someplace, wish it peace. And this happens. And you know. And you know what's going to happen. If you can feel it come back or not come back. If it doesn't come back, you get together with a bunch of people. And you first place, you sprinkle that whole hall or whatever it is with holy water. And you pray. Because there's demons there are going to interfere with what the Lord wants to say. What I'm trying to say, I just thought the Lord said, make it real for these people. This is not, you know, Jesus told them to do these things and... No, do it! This is how we make God known. So you're on the bus, on the train, you're praying, talking with somebody, and they come to know Jesus a little bit better. You don't say that'll be $39.95. You say, hallelujah! That's what he's talking about. Having a heart to evangelize.